In his new book, Brigham Young, a concise biography of the Mormon Moses, author Ed Breslin examines Young's life to use a scholarly focus with a sense of measured admiration, but he doesn't gloss over the darker aspects, such as Young's role in the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Breslin left his job as a publisher and senior vice president of HarperCollins to be a full-time writer after more than two decades in publishing. He's co-written biographies of William Sherman and George S. Patton. In 2008, he collaborated with Senator Mel Martinez on his memoir, A Sense of Belonging. He was last with us to talk about his great book about his dog drinking with Dutchie. With Miss Dutchie.
Yes.
And it is a great pleasure to welcome Ed Breslin back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
It's always wonderful to have you here. What brought you to the life of Brigham Young?
Well, I've always been fascinated by the Mormons, and I'm especially fascinated by how Brigham Young accomplished so much. One man taking on so much and basically coming through on most of his responsibilities, although he did, in his later years, suffer lapses in judgment that led to unfortunate developments.
It should be said, and not that it makes a tremendous amount of difference, but just in context, you were not Mormon.
No.
So this comes out of more, really out of curiosity.
Yes. I've always been fascinated that they started in New York and then they built the paradise in the West, in Utah and the surrounding states. And I just think he's a fascinating character. Along with John C. Fremont and Sam Houston, he is really one of the trinity of men who founded the American West.
You make this point in the book, and it's obviously in the early part of it, but it's fascinating to me because we think of, as you alluded to, we think of this as so much of a Utah story, so much of a West story. He was born in Vermont, and so much of the story takes place in New York.
Yes, exactly. He's a New Englander, and then he moved to New York when New York was the frontier, and then when the Wild West was really Ohio, which was then called the Western Reserve. And he pushed onward with the history of the country. As the country expanded westward, so did his life expand westward. He first went from New York, he moved to Ohio to be at the center of Mormon life when it was in Kirtland, Ohio. Then he moved briefly to Missouri, but the Mormons had so much trouble in Missouri, they had to flee, and they went to Illinois, and he went to Illinois for a number of years, about 4 years. And then from there, he launched the Great Exodus West that resulted in the paradise, which they considered the promised land of Utah, which was at the time called Deseret. He called it Deseret, but it encompassed Utah and parts or all of nine states. But the U.S. government, when it declared Utah a territory in 1849-50, would not accept that large a land mass and reduced it basically to present-day Utah.
Let's talk a little bit about his background and get a sense of what helped drive him as an adult. But this is a child who grew up with his brother in dire poverty.
Yes, they had nothing, the Youngs. And even though his grandfather was a physician pre-Revolutionary War in Massachusetts, Brigham himself, his father, was not really anywhere nearly as competent as his son was. And he had a tendency to be a little irresponsible, did his father. And the father kept moving farther west and farther west and never finding what he was looking for, which seemed to be a great piece of land, a great homestead. But every time he found it, he would abandon it and move farther onto the interface between the frontier and the colonized parts of America. And his son sought something more stable, always, Brigham. And Brigham ended up, a very wealthy man and had a tremendous business sense, which his father lacked, and was ultimately responsible in all aspects of his life, which his father wasn't.
And this comes after just days of formal education.
Just 11, Joe, which is remarkable when you consider that he founded two world-class universities, Brigham Young University and the University of Utah, were both he founded both. He founded an academy that split into two parts, and the parts became Brigham Young University and the other the University of Utah.
So education became very important to him.
It was important to him all of his life after he met Joseph Smith, to whom it was very important. The founder, the prophet, as they call him, Joseph Smith, emphasized education right from the beginning in the Mormon experience and established schools for Mormons. And the Mormons spread education among all their converts.
How did he find these concepts of Mormonism, of figuring this out for himself and other, and ultimately being able to translate it to other people?
I know that he was very fascinated when Brigham's brother met Joseph Smith's brother, and Joseph Smith's brother was a preacher, and so was Brigham's brother. And Smith's brother gave Brigham's brother a copy of the Book of Mormon, and the brother brought it to Brigham. Brigham read it for about 6 months, became convinced that it was real after investigating the people behind it, especially Joseph Smith, and he just embraced it wholeheartedly and became the true believer. And he never wavered his entire life, except briefly on the issue of polygamy. Brigham at first recoiled from it and then later embraced it after Joseph Smith explained the basis for it theologically, at least as Smith espoused it.
And that's a fascinating part of the book, because it is something that the default reaction that most of us would have is that this is not right, and that was Brigham Young's thought initially.
Yes, he said he had never welcomed thoughts of the grave so much as when he was first confronted with the policy of polygamy.
And it was a policy.
Yeah, it was a church policy, church doctrine, as Joseph Smith dubbed it.
What has happened to that doctrine over time? And do you think that in some way Young's initial ambivalence has helped change it?
It lasted about 50 years, from 1843, when Joseph Smith started to practice it, until 1890, when it was repealed by the successor. One of the successors to Brigham Young as head of the church. And I think it never really took. What people don't realize is that polygamy was not widely practiced among the Mormons. It was possible only for the elite at the top, who could afford it and who could afford all the wives and children and could lend them all support. So it was limited to the leadership, basically, of Mormonism. And most Mormons did not want it, which people are usually not aware of. They think that it was universally accepted, and it wasn't. It was quite the opposite. It caused schisms. It caused splinter groups. It caused other churches to be founded. It caused many early leaders of Mormonism to break off and found their own religions. Mm. But they never these new religions never took root the way Mormonism did. And Mormonism survived and flourished once it was repealed. The policy of polygamy was repealed in 1890, and statehood was achieved 6 years later.
The thing in the book that is one of the things that you write about to me, which is fascinating, is that this is America's homegrown religion, largest homegrown religion.
Yes.
I mean, this is our religion that this country founded.
Correct.
So what is it, do you think, over its history, and you're looking at one of the architects of it, but that has become so controversial and has become so really a chasm between that of Christianity and why it is not even more widely accepted than it is and quite frankly was for a time.
Right. I think the reason really is that it's set up an alternate Bible. And I don't think the Book of Mormon has been accepted as a successor to the King James Bible or the Bible as we understand it, going all the way back 5,000 years to the Jewish foundation of it. So I don't think it's taken seriously as a competitor to the traditional Judeo-Christian Bible, basically. And I think that the policy of polygamy did alienate a great many people in what was basically monogamous 19th century America.
And the thought that we have about the way that Brigham Young, yes, but the Mormon faith overall is perceived now in popular culture with things like even John Krakauer's book Under the Banner of Heaven, right. The musical, The Book of Mormon,
right?
That it seems to dilute the message, even though in this past election cycle we had a national candidate who was Mormon.
Yes. Well, there's more acceptance of them now that they are not practicing polygamy, I think, Joe. And there's a lot of admiration, and it's well-placed for admiration for the Mormons. Look at what they did with education. Look at what they do in terms of charitable work. Look at the improvement in so many people's lives they were responsible for. They relieved a great many of the wretchedly poor from the Industrial Revolution in England. They converted them. They set up what amounted to a GI Bill student type of loan arrangement whereby they would advance these emigrants from England the money to immigrate into America and on a payback basis, but not on an indentured basis. And they sponsored education for all, universal education, which you can't be more American than that. They led the quest for religious freedom, which is another founding principle of our country. They were always going west looking for the new promised land. And they sort of Joseph Smith based a lot of Mormonism on the Jewish tradition. They considered themselves to be in an exodus all the time, going west looking for the sanctuary, the promised land that they wanted, where they could be self-governed, where they could flourish. Brigham Young placed a great deal of emphasis on being self-sufficient. He founded many businesses. They founded, in fact, the first department store. They developed the first odometer, which was ingenious, which I talk about in the book. Mm. Brigham was in railroads early. He was in mining. He was in clothing manufacturing. He set up everything for them to be what they called in the Middle Ages autarkic, which means totally independent of importing anything, any of one's needs into one's society. And they were totally self-sufficient. They achieved briefly ecclesiastical rule over secular rule, but this, of course, clashed with America, separation of church and state. And when it did clash, the Mormons had to accommodate the greater will of the people and come under secular law, which then would not tolerate polygamy.
The subtitle of the book is A Concise Biography of the Mormon Moses. And in reading the book, and certainly in the reviews that I've read of it, is praising you for not sugarcoating the story, but also giving a very real picture of as you just mentioned, as many accomplishments as well as the great controversies, including the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
Well, that was really a disgrace and unfortunate. And the whole Mormon War, as they call it, or Buchanan's blunder. James Buchanan is the only president from our home state, Joe, of Pennsylvania, and he was apparently something of a fool. He was not an admirable or really intelligent man. And to have sent an army out to subdue the Mormons when they weren't in open revolt was a total overreaction, which Sam Houston tried to talk Buchanan out of, but Buchanan wouldn't listen. And it precipitated a situation where Brigham, exasperated from years and years of punishment at the hands of state militias, and there was an order for their extermination of all Mormons in 1837 in Missouri, all that sort of thing, and there were massacres of Mormons at that time too. It all just exacerbated Brigham. He overreacted. He armed the whole state. He mobilized the Mormon militia, and the situation got out of hand with war fever, and because of that, this wagon train of innocent people from Arkansas passing through was slaughtered, in effect, by the Mormons and the Native Americans, prompted by the Mormons, and it was a very unfortunate and just disgraceful loss of life in American history, and Brigham Young created some of the atmosphere for that, so he has to bear some of the responsibility.
Ed Breslin's new book is Brigham Young, A Concise Biography of the Mormon Moses. It's really a fascinating look at it. Just a really interesting man and an interesting chapter of history. Ed Breslin, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.